Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Well, pushy sideline parents are an all too familiar sight at children's sports matches across Ireland. But why do children's sports, especially football, bring out the worst in parents? We're joined now by Pádraig Walsh, who's a chartered behavioural psychologist from changeable.ie. Is it changeable or changeable?
It's changeable.
Changeable. We'll go with that, Pádraig. Thank you for joining us and for coming into us. I mentioned this at the top of the show and loads of people getting in touch on 51551 about their own experiences. Very interesting text, actually, from a referee. I'll read that out in a short while. But firstly, what do you think it is about children's sports that seem to get parents so intensely emotional?
Yeah, this is, when I think about it, it's our fast brain versus our slow brain. It's our emotional brain versus our rational brain. Just off air, I was saying to you that you're currently in the midst of, like, a, you know, children who are, you're having to parent from the sideline, whereas I'm not in that phase yet. Mm. And when you're in that moment, it is a very emotional thing. Like, our emotional brain can take over on the sideline. It is impacted by our arousal levels. Like, parenting in, when children go to creche, when children go to school, there is a really nice boundary that is set. It's very difficult, but we have to leave our children at the gates and there is a clear delineation and a clear boundaries. But the act of letting our children go to play sport is an act of letting go as a parent, but we're not fully letting go because we're on the sideline. You can imagine what it would be like for a child if their parent was beside them in school
that
all the
so
time. Could you imagine?
Oh, I've never thought about it that way, but you'd be so tempted to intervene here or there
We do let go when we send them to childcare or to school. But then we have this next phase, which is sport, where we're actually watching them in situ, perhaps doing something that we have done, like play sport ourselves. And we find it really difficult to let go. Add in the fact that there's arousal levels, there's competition, there's noise. And suddenly you've got this melting pot, which is really designed for fast brain thinking, where parents can do things or say things that are really not cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, this takes all different forms, doesn't it? It can be positive encouragement, you know, run a little bit faster. Maybe that's not positive encouragement, but go get the ball, you're doing great, you know, things like that. Or it can be, you know, pull back, you're tempted to coach yourself a little bit, even though the coach is there to do that, get back into defence or whatever it is. And then it can be shouting at the other players or shouting at the ref, and it escalates. Is any shouting okay, do we think?
Like, I have really strong opinions on this. Okay. I think underage sport is a privilege that we have. And any sport is a privilege that we have, Sarah. You've talked to people already today in your job who would love to have sport as an anxiety in their lives. Mm-hmm. And children's sport is that space that is created to allow them to learn skills in a safe, controlled environment. The physical skills, the life skills, the social skills, to make mistakes, to experience sadness and joy, all in the same melting pot. But it is a safe and controlled environment. Now, what happens if you have baying voices from the sideline taking the joy out of sport for parents? And this afternoon I looked at a lot of the research, not just in Ireland and the UK, but also Australia and America, and a lot of the drop-off rates in teenagers or, you know, young adults, well, sorry, children who are young teenagers, where they drop off sport, cite parental pressure, stress and coaching, bad coaching from the sideline as a huge factor in their drop-off of something that should be like a sandboard for you to experience life, to make friends, to experience joy and to make mistakes without consequence.
Yeah, the FAI did do a silent sidelines there a couple of weeks ago because I was at a sideline myself and we all had to sort of stop ourselves.
How did that go?
A couple of times parents shouted out and then everyone else told them you're not allowed to shout today, and everyone sort of went quiet. And I think it was probably for everyone just much more relaxed.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of this idea of silent sidelines because one of the interesting things around human behaviour change that I'm really interested in is the impact of rules and regulations, but also that impact of social culture on what we do in our immediate environment. So, you know, we see now in GAA, they've changed the rules around dissent, that you immediately bring the ball up to, I think it's the 21-yard line, and you get a free if there is any dissent to the referee. And I wonder how that is going to change things, you know, and it'll take a while to see how much of an impact that will have. But quite often, we take our cue from the people beside us. Mm. If there is another parent who is remaining silent, or if I shout and suddenly Sarah is turning to me going, listen, today is a day to be quiet, that's going to have a huge impact on me than maybe a sign that people ignore or a rule or a regulation that has been put in.
People might feel that maybe you should be allowed, I don't know, you can text us to 51551 what you think about the silent sidelines, but just some of your texts that we have at the moment about the referees particularly. This is from a person who says they're a ref. They say, I reffed under 16 boys soccer final last night. A handful of parents gave me abuse during the game and after it, all from the same team. Not a word from the other team at all. Some of the players' behaviour was not great either. Again, it's only a small percentage, but it's sad. I did a very good game last night. I got lots of compliments from other players and adults from both teams after it. But some parents and adults are shocking what they say to you. Words I can't put on text. I go home after doing a thankless job and it becomes an unnecessary worry for me and can affect you mentally and emotionally. Thank goodness a huge percentage of kids and parents are generally no problem, but it only takes one to ruin your evening or night, says that person. And it is very, and we hear this, it's very difficult for referees, particularly at this level. I mean, entirely voluntary level.
Entirely voluntary. Without referees, there is no sport. And this is not, like, this is the thing. Sport is a privilege that we have. And in the absence of referees, in absence of those volunteers, you're adding in unnecessary stress. And like the referee pointed out there, it is those few. Mm. So what are the rest of us doing in order to perhaps intervene, or what is happening from a leadership level at sporting organisations to say, this needs to stop? And we're either combining this with rules and regulations or initiatives like silent sidelines, which, you know, can be very, very difficult, as you outline, but at least they set clear parameters around what the behavioural expectations are at underage sport.
Yeah, we have another text there saying most of the problems are caused by mentors or parents. Too much coaching on the sideline during the games. Let the player think for themselves. What about if it's a coach? Because I have heard stories of, you know, coaches being just, you know, overly enthusiastic, to put it very kindly.
I know. Again, a huge bugbear of mine. Do you know what I was thinking? I was like, what would happen if we put non-subject experts as coaches? So people who knew nothing from, let's say, the age of under 8 or under 10 below, right? Somebody who never played football in their lives being a football coach. Somebody who had never done gymnastics. So they're not actually focused on the technical parts of this. Because look, at underage sport is really about all of those peripheral, pivotal skills like, you know, learning to take turns, learning to interact with others, teamwork, accepting defeat, experiencing disappointment. So you take away the technical aspects and you teach it very, very basically. The problem can be is that when you have a coach who's actually trying to live vicariously through their team and their focus is on the medal, the achievement and making up for the things that they couldn't do themselves, that's where it gets really difficult, and that's a big turn off for kids.
And again, though, you have to say there's a lot of coaches entirely voluntary. They give up so much of their time and they spend so much of themselves.
Oh, massively. And just, this is the privilege that we have, that we have so many amazing people out there who are giving of their time freely to make lives better for kids on the sports field, and for that to be spoiled by parents or people who are, you know, being that fly in the ointment for something that predominantly is a very joyful and enjoyable experience. That's the part that needs to be weeded out.
Okay, you need just a couple more me's in the sidelines going, shh, not allowed to talk today. Poor coach, thank you very much for joining us. Let us know what you think to 51551.